Welcome to episode 161 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live January 20, 2020. This is a show about Office 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. This week, we spend a little time going over some upcoming events in 2020 that you don't want to miss, as well as some recent Office 365 news around Stream, Office 365 Video, and Outlook on the web.
All good.
It's all good on a Monday morning. This will be interesting. I wonder how we can do recording on a Monday versus a Friday.
Well, we'll just record twice in the same week. Problem solved.
Absolutely. That means we have to come up with something for Friday. But for today, we went in and found some news to talk about.
Something like that.
Oh, that's right. Oh, really? Do we have to talk about this?
Yes, we do.
Am I allowed to say how bummed out I am?
Yes, you are.
I have other people I have talked to that share similar sentiments, but they shall remain nameless for their own protection.
You should say what you're talking about.
I should say what I'm talking about?
You should.
The Microsoft Ignite 2020 conference. Scott, well, I guess technically, I was going to say we can no longer drive. Technically, that's not true. We could still drive.
We could almost make it there.
But we will not be driving because it is in New Orleans. Is it New Orleans or is it New Orleans?
Yes.
Or is it New Orleans?
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad we got that straightened out. It is in New Orleans, in September, right in the middle of hurricane season. Although I can't say that's any better than Orlando in the middle of hurricane season. Although New Orleans has been hit much more severely with hurricanes during hurricane season than Orlando ever has been.
Yeah, yeah. There's also the whole like below sea level versus at sea level thing.
We'll stick to technology, but why would you ever build a city below sea level? Like,
because you can engineer
it. There's a common sense disconnect there.
No, come on, the Dutch did it.
They did.
And better than us.
That is my heritage, but at least they did it better than us. And I would still question why. Why? Oh, why? But it is coming up. It is going to be in New Orleans, September 21 through 25 of 2020. And pre-registration is now available, which simply means add your email address to a mailing list so we can tell you when you can actually register.
Correct. I think it's important to call that out. Everybody goes, ooh, pre-register. I got to come up with a bunch of money and things now. No, that is just to get on the wait list. It's more like subscribe for notifications.
Yes, that is most definitely what's the pre-registration is. So yeah, I'm not exactly excited about New Orleans. I have never been there. There's a reason I have never been there.
Oh, it's a fun place. The food's good.
You're going to have to, yes, but when there's 30,000 other people there, it can be rather hard to find the food without like a 3-hour wait.
Yeah, well, it'll be fun. We'll get you on a plane. It'll be okay.
All right. You can introduce me to New Orleans culture. To crocodile tail?
Yes, to fluffy little beignets. And we'll put on like 30 pounds. It'll be great.
All right. We will see. I hope you're right. I've just never really had any desire or reason to go to New Orleans.
Well, I think just based on the way they've done it the last couple of years with being able to stream a lot of the sessions and everything else that's in there, it's certainly one of those, if it's not your place to be, it's not your jam, then you really theoretically, technically don't have to show up, right? I think they've made on-demand quite accessible, especially with registration limits and caps and things like that. So
yep.
The hard if there was a is, concern about it, then you know you might not need to go.
I may not, right. I like hanging out with the people and seeing people, so I will probably still go for the pure networking side of it. Kind of like we've talked about before, for us, that has turned into the benefit of Ignite is more the networking, getting podcast recordings, all of that type of stuff, not so much the streamed sessions, because like you said, we can always catch those later. So yes, I will probably still be there. And I guess we kind of knew it was coming. It wasn't going to be able to be in the same spot forever. When they switch cities to, I'm always a little worried about the logistics because, let's face it, they get the logistics down really well in Orlando the last 3 years. Their track record has not been to have great logistics the first year it's in a new city.
Well, yes.
See, you don't need to be politically correct.
So for this one, they have done events in New Orleans before. So things like, what was the old, the tech ready? maybe not tech ready.
Tech ed?
Yeah, tech ed. There you go. Tech ed's been held there. So that was a little bit smaller, but certainly still, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. So I'm sure they plan all that stuff and figure it out. I think it'll be fun.
All right. I have my fingers crossed. I'm taking your word for it, Scott.
But Ben, what if someone didn't want to attend a conference in person? Would there be a place they could go?
Would there be a place they could go to not attend in person? There is. Well, it's not as big, but there is the North American Collaboration Summit. If they don't want to go to New Orleans, they can go to Branson, Missouri. Speaking of interesting places. So I am going to be out there once again in Branson, Missouri, speaking at the North American Collaboration Summit. This is Mark Rackley's conference, if you guys have not heard of it. And if you do want to attend and visit me and a bunch of other awesome speakers out in Branson, you can save $50 off your full conference pass or workshop by using Stejink, my last name, as the coupon code. And yeah, it'll knock $50 off. So instead of $150 for a full conference pass, it is only $100, which if you're doing the math is like $2,300 cheaper than Ignite. And you get to see me. So if you're going to Ignite to see me, consider this one instead. Yeah, it's a good conference. It's a couple days. I was out there last year speaking. It's a Thursday, Friday, and I think workshops are on Saturday. But it is a fun conference to go attend. I've been to Branson a few times before. So Branson was not, going to this conference was not the first time I've been to Branson. Personally, Branson's just kind of a fun city out in the middle of Missouri. So I would consider it. I have fun out there.
Yeah. So that event is coming up from April 2nd and 3rd, 2020.
Thanks. I did not pull up the dates. So I'm glad you did.
I'm here to help you out.
Everyone on your team is unique. So is SkillMeUp.com. Only SkillMeUp provides the bridge from fundamentals to certification paths to advanced skills to accelerate digital transformation with one subscription and five ways to learn. Start your free pilot today and supercharge your IT and Microsoft Azure skills by visiting skillmeup.com/pilot or click the link in the show notes below. So, along the lines of conferences, and we talked about Ignite and streaming, there is some other video announcements and some interesting things coming out around stream. I should move this announcement up. First, we have the official, they've kind of put out some official timelines now for that migration conversion from Office 365 video to stream. So if you have missed it, this came out, I don't know when they first announced this. It's been a long time now. Office 365 video is going to go away. You're going to have to transition to Microsoft Stream for all of your video content. And there's a whole public regions timeline now around when you can migrate, when automatic migrations will begin. So right now, today, this point in time, you can go start migrating all of your stuff manually from Office 365 video to Microsoft Stream. Coming up March 1 of this year, so March 1 of 2020, automatic migrations begin. So this is going to be those of you that didn't change migration settings or have stuff set up so that it hasn't migrated already, and there's a bunch of notes in here about all of that, it will start automatically migrating you to Stream April 1 of 2020. So a month after that, the iOS app for Office 365 video will be retired. And then a year later, March 1 of 2021, it says automatic migrations even if you delayed. Because if you don't want to do it March 1 of 2020, you can just delay it until 2021. They give you that option to delay. And then March 1 of 2022, so a full 2 years, all the redirect links that automatically redirect you from Office 365 video to Stream will no longer be maintained. At that point in time, about 2 years and 2 months from now, Office 365 video will be officially dead. There won't be anything linked into it anymore. It will all be gone and you better be using Stream.
Yes. So effectively a nice multi-phased approach. You've got 0 to 2 phases to hop into. You want to go on your own or go automatically or wait it out for Microsoft to do their thing. I think this one's a little bit weird to find the setting. So if you don't read the documentation, I think most of us would typically think the setting would just be in the Microsoft 365 Admin Center, but it's actually over inside the Stream app. So you have to navigate over into your Stream portal and then go into the admin from there. And then you can find a blade, a tile, whatever we want to call it, for migration to go ahead and set those migration settings to what they need to be. And then it's just a little radio button for you. There's no, hey, I want to go on March 15th. It's kind of like, I'm ready to go and migrate as soon as I can. And then I'm going to let Microsoft migrate me over and do whatever they need to do.
Yep. Or I'm going to delay and let them migrate me over a year later and do whatever they need to do. Yeah. But either way, it's they're going to do it. You have a tiny bit of control over the time frame in terms of in March or now or in March of a year from now. So GCC is a little different too. GCC, they're going to retire the iOS app.
I am shocked to hear that.
I know. It's crazy how much GCC is always different. April 1 of 2020, April Fool's Day, that's just a bad day to announce anything. That's when that iOS app will be retired. Other retirement dates for GCC are to be determined. I don't know if that's because Stream's not ready for GCC yet or what the deal is there, but GCC, just be patient. Your time is coming eventually, hopefully, maybe. But there is a bunch of other stuff too in this document. They go through what new features there are with Stream, if you want to jump over there now, if there's functionality. There is some functionality in Office 365 Video that's not in Stream, so they list out, there's just like a handful of features that are missing, regions that Stream data is hosted in, which could bring us to another topic there, Scott. But this article does have more than just kind of the migration timelines. It walks you through how to set up for the migration, different features that are available, just more details about Stream and how that migration might affect you.
Yes, some more things to think about. Or, interesting, I think this one will be interesting if you're using both of these already. Like you already had Office 365 Video out there and you've decided to go play around with Stream potentially, or you're kind of doing dual workloads in there. I'm kind of interested in how they're going to handle a quote-unquote migration for it and see what happens when all that stuff has to mash together.
I can let mine go and tell you what happens, because I do have videos in both places right now.
Well, it's the whole like videos sitting here and over in Stream, you've got the whole groups concept again. It's a nice like fun thing.
Well, so technically though, all the videos are sitting in the same spot, whether you're using Stream or Office 365 Video, because it's all using Azure on the back end and the Azure Media Services. So I would think in theory.
Sure. I'm thinking more like how the metadata lands. So there's just different ways. Think about like hashtags on videos in Stream versus stuff that's just not there in video today. And maybe you've already built out like a whole taxonomy and all of a sudden, boom, all this stuff just dumps in.
Yeah, so I can see that. I think the whole site collection to groups mapping will be okay, because each video, was it a channel in 365 Video? Each one of those was its own site collection. So in theory, you upgrade that site collection, or maybe they come up with some way to convert that site collection to a group attached site collection, doing all the fancy video stuff that needs to be done in the back end, and it just kind of shows up in Stream when all that takes place. But I can see your point. If you've built out like a crazy taxonomy and you've used like some of the features that they say you won't have around like the spotlight videos and some of the video statistics, that I think is going to affect people more, as if they're really relying on some of those video statistics, it doesn't sound like those are going to come over. Or those are even there yet in Stream to the extent that they were in 365 Video.
Yeah. So I think the most important thing there is figure out when you're potentially going to want to go. If you have any concerns, go in phase two, let those early adopters in phase one, or really the ones who didn't know they needed to click the button to delay, go ahead and go in front of you. And then see what comes out of that. And if you do have anything in Office 365 Video today and you don't want Microsoft to migrate you, make sure you migrate yourself because once that service is retired, they're just going to delete all of your videos and channels and they go away. So you kind of have to pick and choose your path and what that's going to look like for you there.
Yes. As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro. So, another one related to video that was announced in the admin center. Do you want to start with this one? You actually brought this one to my attention. I had missed this one.
Yeah, same vein. Again, stream as a service. So the way stream goes today, you have some potential data sovereignty concerns that exist within that service, because while there are Office 365 data centers in many, many places, less of those data centers have been enabled for the stream service. So one of the things that comes along with that is deciding whether you turn it on or not, and not just for maybe corporate videos or, you know, your internal YouTube-ish kind of thing. It's also for things like meeting recordings in Teams, because meeting recordings in Teams are also stored inside of Microsoft Stream. So you're going to have some options now where, you know, Microsoft effectively said, we're not even going to allow some of this to be turned on based on data sovereignty concerns and wanting to kind of be compliant and meet the letter of the law. And now they're saying they're going to leave that up to organizations. So you're going to have the ability, if there is not a Microsoft data center near you that is enabled for stream and you haven't been able to record your Teams meetings, you're going to have the ability to go turn that on. And then what Microsoft is going to do is store your Teams meetings recordings in stream in quote unquote the nearest geographic location, whatever that happens to be. So it could very well be outside your country since they weren't able to meet your data residency requirements in the here and now. So there's a couple things to watch out for this one. You're going to have the ability to go ahead and turn on Teams meetings recordings. If you turn those on, like I said, they're going to go to the quote unquote nearest region. Now they're going to be pinned into that region, and it sounds like and feels like they're going to be pinned there for a while. You know, Microsoft's not saying, hey, when there does become an in-country region, we're going to go ahead and automatically move your data for you. There's nothing like that in this announcement. It's just saying, we're going to let you turn on team meeting recordings and stream. If you have concerns about this, you are going to need to go and manually disable Teams meetings recordings in the Teams admin center.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I get the dilemma that they have is it's not like we can just let people enable it and use something else to record and store it if we don't have the data center and the functionality available within their country to save it, maintain data sovereignty. At the same time, it's unfortunate that you lose that meeting recording experience if you're using Teams, if data sovereignty is important or something you need to adhere to. And if there's not that stream data center available within your region, you're just kind of out of luck at that point in time, I guess. Maybe you go buy some third-party software to record your screen or to do something else. Or maybe at that point in time, you do have to go look for something other than Teams for those large meetings that you may want to record. But there's not really a whole lot else you can do with that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun times.
Yeah, I'm guessing when they say closest data center to, it's closest data center to where your Office 365 environment is hosted, not closest data center to where like the initiator of the meeting was or something like that.
Correct. Yeah. So it's going to be based on kind of where your existing infrastructure for Office 365 is deployed out to today.
So I guess what would be kind of nifty and is if they didn't necessarily do closest, but if it couldn't be stored in the same region, if they gave you the option to pick where you wanted it stored. So it doesn't really help with data residency, I don't think. I don't know. Like, are there any instances where if you're in one country, you're allowed to store data in another country, but not a different one? So, I don't know. Let's say you're...
I am not a lawyer, so don't ask me.
Oh, I was hoping you had your law degree finished up and you could answer that. But if that was the case, where like if you were in the UK and for some reason you could save your data, I don't know, Switzerland or save it off in South Africa or something like that, but you couldn't save it in the US. If Microsoft gave you that ability to say, yes, I'm going to use stream recording, I get that it can't be saved here, but this is the region I do want to save it in. I don't know if that actually helps anybody or not.
It seems to be a little bit of a weird one, because if you do have compliance concerns, it's kind of an all or nothing proposition. I don't know that you can guarantee that people aren't going to talk about the things that they're not supposed to talk about on something like a meeting and then have it all of a sudden uploaded into the cloud. It lives, like you said, outside a place where it should be. And now it's not just the video that's residing there. It's things like transcripts and other delivery mechanisms, like potentially even the metadata about those. And who knows where all that stuff falls out with the lawyers.
Right.
It is a weird one for sure.
And now it doesn't even feel like you have any visibility, because unless you go and do a bunch of research, you may not even know what that closest stream data center is. I mean, they give you the current locations in this. So right now it's UK, Canada, Australia, India, Japan, Norway, France, Singapore, UAE, China, South Korea, South Africa, Germany, Switzerland, Sweden. I would think most people would have a good idea of where the closest data center would be or which one of those is the closest to where their Office 365 data is. But it doesn't sound like you even really have any visibility into which one is the closest. Which one is this actually going to go in based on this rule?
Correct. You would have to turn it on. So you'd have to say, hey, this is a feature that I don't have today. And you would let it light up and enable. Upload a video. So effectively, you know, assuming you don't have stream turned on today,
yep,
and you don't have meeting recordings on, you're going to go ahead and either upload your first video to stream or record your first meeting. Then once that's uploaded, you can actually go into stream and say about stream, and it will go into the stream service, go into the settings or the about for it, and it will tell you which one it is stored
in. Which data center it's in.
Yeah. But I don't know that you can figure that out later. And like I said, Microsoft is being explicit and they're saying there is no migration path later. So say you're in Europe today, and you know, you end up, there ends up being a new build out that's a little bit closer to you based on where you sit and where your company is registered and all those kinds of things. Microsoft is not saying they're going to move your data automatically over to the next closest region.
Right.
Because I think that just leads to a big migration headache for them.
So what's not clear though is if you, because I'm guessing you also can't span regions, so you probably can't turn it off and then turn it back on and now have stream data in both locations. I'm
correct.
Assuming you're, once you're married to a location, you're going to be stuck there for now and forever.
Yes, they do call out that it is going to be pinned. So the way that is spelled out is, however, any tenant that enables meeting recordings before Microsoft Stream is available in the in-country data residency region will continue to use the Microsoft Stream storage for existing and new recordings even after Microsoft Stream is available in the in-country data residency region.
So yes, be careful with this one. Be aware of your data residency and if you actually want stream or meeting recordings on or not, if you're going to Teams or if you're already there.
Yeah. If you don't, turn it off and then just kind of wait and watch the admin center or the message center rather and see all that stuff come in, and hopefully you'll catch the note when it does come a little bit closer to you.
Yes. When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and/or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudit. All right, so another announcement that I recently saw that both excited me and disappointed me at the same time was, if you have Office 365 now, you can add a personal calendar to your Office 365 environment. And this got me excited because it makes sense. Like, my wife and I have shared calendars that we host in other services. It's not in Office 365. And oftentimes when I'm scheduling meetings and stuff, it's nice to be able to see what she's put on that calendar versus my work calendar. Right now, I just tend to use overlays and Outlook. But this will support now doing Outlook on the web with it. So adding in either Gmail calendars or Outlook.com calendars is now supported in Office 365 Outlook on the web. So you can go into adding calendars, subscribe to calendars. I don't think there was a way, though, to pull an email. I think right now this is just stuck to calendars. Personally, I was hoping to see this also exist for other Office 365 accounts because, for instance, I have a personal Office 365 account as well as a work Office 365 account because, frankly, I just like the features in Office 365 more, and $5 a month to have an email address in Office 365 was pretty cheap. I keep waiting for this to kind of extend to support multiple Office 365 accounts in the same Outlook Web Access client, because I will be honest, there are things I like about the Outlook Web Access a lot more than I do working in a desktop client, but I spend most of my day in a desktop client because I have about 5 Office 365 email accounts I need to keep an eye on. Again, that's just me, but for those of you that do use Outlook.com calendars or Gmail calendars for your family calendar and want to pull them into your work calendar, it is now supported to go in and add those and subscribe. There's also a school calendar that's available. I think this was new as well. So you can go into your calendars, add a calendar, select schools, throw a zip code in there, and it will find schools close by. You can select the district of the school you want to add, and those school calendars will pop into your Office 365 as well, so you know when you most definitely need to go into the office instead of work from home because your kids will be off from school for the day.
If you don't know that, you might have other issues. But
I was just trying to come up with a use case off the top of my head. That was the best thing I could do.
I see.
Yeah. Or maybe it's more planning ahead. If you want to plan ahead and you're just, because you know how you just get meeting requests and you're like, accept, accept, accept. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, my kids are off for the day. I can't go to those meetings because my kids are off from the day.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know if this one's rolling out or what the deal with is it?
I think it's already there.
I don't know. It doesn't
I think
work.
It was like announced and it's live all at the same time, but I haven't tried it.
No, I know it doesn't work the right way in my Office 365 tenant. So when I go in and I hit add calendar, it's just creating a new calendar. It doesn't give me the option to do a personal calendar, but I can still do things like import. So you can import, you know, from the web, from a file, whatever it happens to be.
Maybe. I haven't tried.
And then for you, what you should do for your personal thing, I do this same kind of thing. You know, my wife has her calendar. I have mine.
Yep.
We have a family calendar. We have work calendars, things like that. You can do imports to, when you go in to do an import calendar, you can go ahead and import it from the web. And if you do an import from a web and you just point it to an ICS file, then you can certainly go ahead and have it imported. And then you're just subject to Microsoft doing the refresh. So I do this a lot with Gmail and it refreshes really slowly, which kind of hurts sometimes. But you might have good luck with that. If you have those four other accounts, go and publish their calendars as ICS, like share them out with the permissions that you need them to be shared at. Grab that URL of the shared calendar and then go use the import from web feature in your primary mailbox.
To import it in that way. I've done a whole bunch of different things. I think the iCloud ones works too. I think I have done that with iCloud before because we use all the iCloud shared calendars for our family stuff. And it does work with that. But I also have like the Exchange account because you can add it to a Mac. So I have my Exchange account, the family account, and all of those. So I can always pull up my built-in calendar as well. So there's different ways I've worked around that as well.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about that is when you do the import thing, and it looks the same way, and I'll have to test it with the personal thing once it makes it in, is you're doing read-only views to those subscribed calendars.
Yes.
So I would really love to have just one solid calendar that was all the things ready to go.
Yeah, because that's what you can kind of get away with Outlook and Outlook on the web if you go start adding a bunch of accounts. And that's what I really would love to see come to Office 365 is a way to essentially just add another Office 365 account to your primary Office 365 account and kind of bring all that in kind of in the same way you would do with Outlook on the desktop.
Yeah. Calendaring's hard.
Oh, it is. Schedule is hard with families and lots of kids. All right. Should we wrap it up or should we throw out our last announcement that we had put in our show notes?
No, we can wrap it up.
We can wrap it up. All right. And with that, we'll wrap it up. Go download the latest Microsoft Edge browser because it's G8 and it's built on Chromium. There you go. I got it in. Surprise! No, that was it. I didn't feel like leaving people hanging. That just kind of felt mean. So that was all we were going to say was that new Edge Chromium browser has now launched on Windows and macOS. They've refreshed it for iOS. It's all built on Chromium now. And personally, I've been using it for a while and I really like it. So I would recommend giving it a try. And with that, we'll call it a wrap.
Great. Thanks, Scott. Right.
Thanks, Scott. We'll talk to you later. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.